Well, praise God. It's interesting how we are doing things these days. I'm not saying it's ideal, but it is interesting. We are. I'd be lost really without the Lord. We just sang that. And I tell you, if it wasn't for Tim and Landon and Eleanor and Jordy this is a commendation, man. Nearly a year ago, it was just the four of us in the building here, and made things work. And I tell you, it really is a blessing to have you. As many here today as we do have. I was quite pleased when Lynn said last night that Cheryl and Justin, the kids, might be here today. Because, I mean, I see her for lunch once in a while, but you know, and Sylvia prayed earlier. God's put us into families, and family is important. And you're important to me, but. It's sure nice to have Cheryl and Justin and the girls here today, too. Best day ever. That's because of you folks. You know? Amen. Well, we're concluding a series today that we began on the first Sunday of the new year, January the 3rd. I preached a message entitled Receiving God's Favor, and receiving favor from the Lord is not automatic. And I talked about seven habits and there's more than seven, but there are seven that I regard as being very important for us to be in that place that we can receive the favor of the Lord. We've looked at the habit of meditation. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight will be in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night, and he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If I want to be in that place of blessing and favor from God, I need to be building in my life the habit of meditating on the scripture. And we talked about the habit of focus. We were driving here this morning, and I was just kind of letting the car. I don't like fighting it. If it's not going in the ditch, I just let it kind of run. And Lynn looks at me, and she says, is that the car, or is that the rumble strip? And I says, it's the rumble strip. But, the turn's coming up, just up here to turn off. I'm not that worried about it. But you want to be looking where you're going. Amen? One of the staff members the other day was complaining. She comes into the store from Wolseley, and she said it took me longer to get here because it was so foggy. I couldn't see where I was going. Focus is important. Do we know where we're going? Guard your heart with all the diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, looking neither to the right nor to the left, but straight ahead. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his tabernacle. Where am I looking? We looked at the habit of obedience. That's not a message on legalism. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he says, and he that loveth me, my Father and I will manifest ourselves to him. And that simply means to make known to the senses. The habit of giving. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And I haven't talked to my wife about this yet, but I feel quite convicted today about this young couple that are starting the church in Mexico. And every payday I put a little bit in for the food for Mexico, but I feel today that I need to be adding something for this couple, for the work that they're doing. for the building. And I'm not saying that to lay a guilt trip on you or whatever, but we need to be people that are willing to sow plentifully, because I want to reap plentifully. And that doesn't bind the Lord. It's just it's a principle of God. Nowhere in Scripture can I find where it says, you know, God owes you something. But there is a portion in Proverbs says that he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. When you give to the poor, God says, I assume responsibility for you to even greater measure. You know, that's a wild concept. We talked about the habit of praying a couple of weeks ago, and the number of very positive responses that I got on that was I really appreciate it when I get positive responses. The habit of giving of thanks. You know, there's some portions of Scripture that just aren't fun. Rejoice always. You weren't rejoicing last night. You know. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Yeah. And that's challenging. That really reveals to me where I'm at. I think it was Larry Christensen in one of his books who said, Christians are like sponges. You don't know what's in them until they're squeezed. You know? But I've been in that place. And this morning we conclude that series looking at the habit of witnessing. I got so many pieces of paper on my desk here this morning that I'm not sure where I'm at. I had it right on top, but I had to find that first one, and now I've got it all disorganized. I got two copies of Giving of Thanks. I think Tim just said, why don't you just use the bulletin? It's in the bulletin. But it's smaller print. It's hard for me to find. It's here somewhere. It's going to slide on the floor the way I'm going right now. You got to see the mess I got going now, because it was in somewhat of an order before. Now I can't even can't even find the bulletin. There we are. The habit of witnessing. I'm going to have to use it off the bulletin, because I honestly can't find my notes. It's in this. Hey? You want to look? That'd be great. Jesus. Paul admonishes Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13. It's the habit of witnessing that you're looking for. Oh, you found it. You're so efficient. That's Dad sucking up. Oh, you see what I did? I got the heading right, but I got the title wrong. I forgot to change the title. Thank you. That's what threw me off. It's the right one, yeah. Yeah, the top heading, but the title, I didn't change the title. The title still says, The Habit of Giving Thanks. But this is the right one. Thank you. That's what threw me off. I'm barely out of bed, and here's a text waiting for me from Josh. He says, you missed an editing error. You know, he sends it to me Sunday morning. I needed it Saturday before I sent it to everybody else. You know, I misspelt nations, so it looks like notions. And I responded to him, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I do appreciate the fact that you check it and point it out, because I was able to correct it, but not for the notes. Anyway, here we go. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. I'm leaving that as a heading for all of the messages, because we're going to read some Scripture. So if you got your Bibles or your phone, whichever you use, Acts chapter 1:1-10, a very familiar portion of Scripture to most all of us, I'm sure. It says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, if you were to pause there and go to the opening of Luke, you would find that Luke writes to Theophilus. And based on that, they were able to conclude that Luke also wrote the book of Acts. Verse 2, was in the beginning, in the first book of Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was risen up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still haven't caught on to what's happening. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, not another one, or not one like him, but this Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He is coming again. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And then go to the first of the letters to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. That's a much nicer word than in the old King James. It says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. Now, notice it's not talking about in the flesh. It says no one speaking in the Spirit of God. Okay? And no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Well, we can see that in the flesh. Anybody can stand up and say, well, Jesus is Lord. But that doesn't mean that it's coming out of a spiritual life. I've seen many people come to an altar and confess, make the confession that Jesus is Lord, and never, ever live it out. You know? Now, there are varieties of gifts, but there's the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In some circles, it is felt that the charismatic or the Pentecostal gifts can be divisive. They certainly can, any doctrine can, when we approach it in the flesh. We can fight and divide over anything, you know. We fight and divide over baptism. You know, is it infant or is it adult? You know, is it sprinkling? Is it pouring, or is it immersion? You know, we divide over those things. We should never throw out anything of the Holy Spirit because, in the flesh, we use it to cause division. But notice the purpose of the spiritual gifting. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. When used in the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifting brings us together. It does not divide us. When we're walking carnally, it will divide us, as any teaching in the Scripture will do. For to one is given the Spirit through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. I want to be quite careful here. I really appreciate Tim. I appreciate the fact that he, since I'm Baptist, him, it's not me. I am Baptist, and I'm Bapticostal. Okay? But I can tell you something I know about this man. He operates in the gift of wisdom. He really does. You know? His wife's smarter. And to another, the utterance of knowledge. That's Darcy. According to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, plural, of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. And to another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who appoints to each one individually as he wills. Then chapter 13, and it's only 13 verses, and we're going to read it because we're following Paul's instruction to Timothy. If anyone speaks in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Listen, the measure of our spirituality is not the function of spiritual gifts. The measure of our spirituality is love. You can speak in tongues, but if you don't have love, it's just a bunch of noise. You know? And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. Verse 3, this one really gets me. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Do you understand? It's possible to be very generous. It's possible to live like a martyr. It's possible to be martyred and still not be functioning out of love. Read that verse again, you know. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The depth of our spirituality is love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. One of the most distasteful things that I have found in my life experience is Christians who are rude. And there's a bunch of them. I'm not trying to be rude. Just trying to tell you the truth. There are a lot of rude Christians out there, and they don't have love. Now, it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Even a kitchen that's a mess. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for, now I want to pause there for just a second. I don't know if you're familiar with the term cessationist. The cessationist is someone who believes that the spiritual gifts ended with the death of the last apostle. And shortly after Lynn and I were married, we were married in April, and in May I was asked to be the caretaker at our church camp at White Rock, and there was a group that came in, and three of the pastors that were there took it upon themselves to correct the Pentecostal theology that I was being trained in. They wanted to meet with me outside, and I thought, no, you come on in to the house on the grounds. Why? Because that's my turf. They wanted me outside because they wanted to attack me. And he says, do you believe in tongues? I said, yeah. He says, you know that that's error to Scripture. It has ceased. I said, really? He says, yeah. And I said, where in the Bible does it say that? He says, well, you go to 1 Corinthians 13. I said, okay, see, you're talking about love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. Right there. And I looked at him. Now, I was 28, relatively new convert. Just completed my first year of Bible college. Knew more then than I know now. How many are going to identify them, you know? And I looked him right in the eye and I said to him, do you know anything? He says, what? I says, do you know anything? He said, of course I know things. I says, well, that same verse says, as for knowledge, it will pass away. He got up and left. If tongues has ceased, knowledge has ceased. If prophecy has ceased, knowledge has ceased. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that, when the perfect comes, the partial passes away. Well, what's the one that's perfect? This same Jesus you saw taken up will come again. And when we see him, we'll be like him. And we will know even as we're known. Then we won't need prophecy then. We will know. We won't need spiritual giftings. We'll be like him. Amen? Yeah? So I didn't handle that very well. But it ended the discussion. And one of the younger pastors that was with in the group of the three came to me. He says, you know, you've really messed up my theology. I said, I have? He says, yeah. I said, no, the Bible did. Don't blame me for what the Bible says. No. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. My wife says, no, he hasn't. Shelly just looked at me and went, amen. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then, when? When's the then? When we see him. Then face to face, but now in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Not the spiritual gifts. Now listen, I'm in favor of spiritual gifts. I want to see more of them take place in my life. But they're not the measure of the spiritual man that I am. The measure of the spiritual man that I am is love. Thank you. You know? All right. And then go to the left. Go to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 to 5. And we're continuing to fulfill the mandate that Paul gave to Timothy. 3, 1 to 15. Hey? 1 to 5? Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, and it says in my notes, too. Okay, see, I only know in part. Brothers, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you're not ready. For some of you still are in the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh, behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the growth. That's an important thing to remember. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and the one who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a master builder, I have laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it, and each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is, and we're going to do a series, probably starting Sunday, on the centrality of the Lamb. And it's a work in progress. Not what he's doing, what I'm doing. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, listen, what happens to gold, silver, and precious stones in a fire? They last. They come through stronger. What happens to wood, hay, and straw? They burn up. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he'll receive a reward. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the return for the Christian labor. If anyone's work is burned up, get this, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So here we are. We're looking today at the habit of witnessing. Witnessing is not beating somebody up with a Bible. You know, my wife and the Lord Jesus Christ are witnesses to this. When we were pastoring in Lindsay, Ontario, we became quite close with one family, and they knew that we were alone and we didn't have any kids, and we'd come from BC to Ontario, and they wanted us to join them every Christmas morning. But they wanted us there early for the kids to open their gifts. So here we are, 6:30, 7 o'clock, heading over to Tim and Judy's place. And this one Christmas, it's like 30 below. And it's blowing. And I get to the corner where I'm going to go by, and the Royal Bank is on the corner. And I'm not going to mention the particular people that were there. But there were two people there, and they were holding Watchtower and Awake. So I've, okay. It's 30 below. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, and they're out there, praise God, witnessing at a time when they're not going to have to confront anybody. That's not witnessing. It's fulfilling a legal requirement, but it's not witnessing. And being a Christian and beating somebody up with the Bible is not witnessing. No. Hello? You're driving with me? Okay. I want us to look at, and like I got 14 minutes. Tim's looking at me like, you're not giving enough time for communion. Okay, here it is. First, we need divine power to witness. That's in Acts chapter 1. You will receive power. The word there is dunamis. It's the word that we get our word dynamite rooted out of. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15 talks about if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will reveal it. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12:1 to 11. We're not going to read it again. Everyone here has received spiritual gifting. And the most important thing in witnessing is to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lay impressions upon your heart. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give you a word of knowledge about a person's situation. I believe that he wants to give you a word of wisdom that applies to that situation. I believe that he wants you to be a person who responds in prayer to their needs, and God will do miracles. He will do wonders. People don't need to be beat up with the Bible. What they need is love with skin on it, representing Jesus Christ, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the power of the flesh. You know? Because love isn't rude. Love reaches out. Love does not try to give its own perspective of theology. Love gives the heart of Jesus. And I've seen people fight over theology. Theology is important. But let's get something straight. You only know in part. And so do I. I need to rest in the Word of God. Not all of the Word of God makes me feel comfortable. Count it all joy, brethren. I don't. Praying always. There's sometimes I'm too frustrated to pray. Hello? I'm just being honest. You know? We are to move in a divine impartation of love. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says there, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, the new has come. John 3:13-35 says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, by the fact that you can prophesy and speak. You know, listen, Saul prophesied. He began to prophesy, and the people said, is he one of the prophets now? And listen, his heart turned away from God. And he lost the anointing, and he lost the kingdom. Moving in a spiritual gift is not assurance of anything. I believe it's essential. I believe we need to be moving in spiritual gifting. But the essential thing is, do we walk in love? By this, all people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. I'll let you decipher the notes on John 22:15-17. We miss the significance of it when we look at it in English, where Jesus appears to them on the beach. He prepares a breakfast for them, and he's talking with Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He asks him a second time, Peter, do you love me? He responds a second time, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus asks him a third time, Peter, do you love me? And he says, you know all things. You know that I love you. We miss the significance of it in the English. You see, what's happening in the Greek is, Peter, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know I filio you. He asks him a second time, Peter, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, you know I filio you. He asks him a third time. He says, Peter, do you filio me? He says, you know all things. You know I filio you. Filio is the root for our word Philadelphia and philharmonic, to be in harmony. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Agape is the love of God. Do we love one another with agape love? Or is it just filial love? And he's wounded because he wasn't able to say, I agape you. He says, I filio you. And the third time Jesus looks at him, he says, do you filio me? And Peter says, you know all things. I filio you. The point is this, is God will meet you where you're ready to be met. I want my love for God to increase. I want it to multiply. I want agape love for God. And I have the capacity and the ability to do that because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And I want to be able to agape other believers. I'm not always successful at that. And I know some of you, you're not always successful at it either. But we miss it in the English. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And in both cases there, the word is agape. There are some people that are easier to love than others. Amen? There really are. Don't pray for patience. You pray for patience, God will mess up the basement and your kitchen. Because you don't need patience if everything is together. Don't pray for love. Because God will bring onto the scene somebody in your life that just rubs you wrong. You know? Hello? Yeah, I got a couple of people nodding going, I understand what you're saying. And we're back to that thing, Christians are like sponges. You don't know what's in us until we're squeezed. You know? I need divine power, and I need to walk in divine impartation that God did something in me at the new birth, and I need to let it happen. The divine impartation of light. 1 John 1:5, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. People need to be able to look at us and see something in us that's different than the world. If I'm like the world, then I got nothing. You know, I can take and I can beat them up with Bible verses, but if they don't see something different in me, that didn't mean a thing. Hello? You know, many of us, when we're trying to witness, it's like we're reading a tract. But Jesus didn't read a tract to the woman at the well. He had a word of knowledge. The man you're with isn't your husband now either. But if you knew the water that I had to give, you'd ask me to give you drink, and you'd never thirst again. And she was moved, and she goes out and she tells, and the Bible says she tells the men, because she knew many of them. You can fill that out however you want. And they came, and they talked to Jesus, and he spoke to their life where they were at. He didn't use the track. He met people. And some people left him and never walked with him. Jesus, what must I do to receive everlasting life? He says, you need to keep the commandments. I've done that since my youth. But he was a rich man. He said, okay, you lack one thing. Give all that you have to the poor and follow me. And he couldn't do it, and he left. And Jesus didn't chase him down. You can't compel people. You can only give them the truth in love. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. If you can force somebody into something, can I tell you something? They haven't responded in love. Jesus will not force himself upon anyone. Because he wants sons and daughters, not robots. It's a reality. No? Matthew 5:14 says, you are. If you're naming the name of Jesus, and you believe that you are a believer, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he declares, you're the light of the world. Because you got him in you. And you need to let that shine. Remember that old Ruth and Lynn and Jill, you might not be old enough, I'm not sure. This little light of mine. I tried to compliment her, and you're all moaning. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Yeah, don't do it with a mask on. It's messy. Yeah. You are the light of the world. How do I say this politely? Tim's looking at me saying, just say it. Time's running out. Just do it. Just be light. You know? Read Ephesians 5, 1-17. It says, walk in the light. Practice being in the light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Divine impartation. You're salt. Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under by people's feet. I'm concerned about the North American church. We've gone off in so many tangents in the last 35, 40 years that I'm not sure where we are. And right now, we're getting trodden over. Thank you. I got a head nod going amen. God wants us to come back to him and be salt. What do we have to give that the world doesn't have? It's one thing. It's not prosperity, health. We have one thing to give, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? What does salt do? Okay, yeah, Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Notice, salt does many things, but there's two primary things that come to my mind. Salt produces thirst, and salt preserves. You know? I'm grateful for a fridge. I'm glad I don't have to eat things that are heavily salted. You know, but Jesus with the woman in Samaria, in John 4, he says, if you knew what the water I have to drink, you'd ask me to give you drink. There's something about a good, godly life that is visible to people that causes them to be thirsty. They get curious. They want to know. And we don't have time to go into this. If you go to 2 Thessalonians 6 to 17, it says the Antichrist is going to come. Things are getting worse. They're not going to get better. Jesus is coming again. Then there's going to be trouble like the world's never seen before. And he says, listen, the Antichrist cannot come until he who restrains him is removed. Well, who restrains him? The Holy Spirit. That's the salt. Where's the Holy Spirit? In you. The Holy Spirit is in you and he's with you. The resurrected Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon you. And when the church is removed, look out. You know? Well, what's your end times theology? Are you pre-mill, post-mill, all-mill? I'm pan-mill. It'll all pan out. Next exit comes, I'm taking it. Whether it's the grave or whether it's the trumpet, I'm going. Amen? Okay. There's a divine command. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. There's a verse. How many are claiming that one? Endure suffering. You know, name it and claim it only goes so far. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Yeah. They bail on that one. Do the work of an evangelist. I'm not called as an evangelist, but John, you better do the work of one. Amen? You know, how? By beating them up with the Bible? No. Are you getting my point today? Yeah. Fulfill your ministry. Matthew 28-19. I bet we didn't correct this here. Notions. Yeah, okay, there it is. Okay. Go therefore, make disciple of all. Can you say it, folks? Nations, not notions. Baptizing them in the name singular of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Every time you see baptism in the book of Acts, how did they do it? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one name given among men whereby man must be saved. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a witness is someone who is sensitive to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to prompt them. Somebody who walks deeply in love. Somebody who is really seeking to be light. And someone who is willing to be salt. And every once in a while, that means we get trodden under. With that, time for communion. And then we're going to have our closing song.